We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Dale and Keefe Show.
You buying that Danny Ainge doesn't care that LeBron left the Eastern Conference, Nick?
No. It's ridiculous. Like, he's not telling the truth here.
Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe.
Am I back on?
There we go.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I have problems here in this studio.
This is a difficult studio.
Doing the best that I can.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. John Tomasi is in for Dale today. I want to get some of these Celtics news and notes and rumors and things coming up, but let's get back to some of these phone calls on David Price. Let's start off this hour with Brian in Pembroke. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
All right. Hey, so in conjunction with the shaving talk, I hate David Price and his stupid beard.
Fair enough. Okay.
So here's my hot take. Cora's got to have the stones to move Price to the bullpen. They pick up a reliever at the All-Star break. Basically, at that point, you have the 6th through the 9th taken care of. Do you think Cora will do it?
No. I mean, first of all, you'd be down a starter. So, like, who is taking Price's spot in the rotation in that scenario?
So, you have Sale, Porcello, Rodriguez, who you feel good about, and then you're waiting on the health of two guys that I'm not ready, like Pomerantz and Wright.
Yeah,
I'm not waiting for either of those guys.
You have no idea where you're getting out of either of them. So, if they're not healthy, now you're looking at Brian Johnson and Hector Velasquez starting
Jalen Beeks
40% of your games. I don't think you're interested in that.
You should be able to use Price the rest of the way in the rotation, assuming he is healthy. And I know he's had two terrible starts, but an ERA in the mid-4s, not ideal for an ace or not ideal for a $30 million guy, but fine for a guy in the rotation. Like, you can go, like, Jay Happ is an all-star for the Blue Jays, for God's sakes, and his ERA, I think, is in the mid-4s. But it's the playoff. Like, I think I would take that question and say, come playoff time, let's say everything is roughly equal to the way it is right now. Maybe Pomerantz comes back and he's, you know, what he was a year ago. What do you do then? Like, can you move him into the bullpen then?
No, yeah, I don't think he's going to the bullpen. I think the best you can hope for is that Erod really steps up and Price is your 4th guy in the postseason.
I think the only way you move him to the bullpen, and we mentioned this a little bit yesterday, is if there is an injury, mm-hmm. if there is a bit of a hiccup, and then you say, hey, he's going to be back, but we don't think he can give you 6 or 7 innings, so let's give him that role. And then that way there's no hurt feelings. That way there's no, you've been demoted.
Yeah, the only problem with that is last year, if you remember, he, you know, got into the postseason, was a reliever, and then was kind of like, I wish we could have gotten me stretched out.
Yeah,
you know,
a little sour apples.
He was a little bit sour about that. So if you go through that again and you try to do that again, this time around, he may not be as accepting of the bullpen.
Now, do you think, and we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but if he is
2025, his number will be retired.
You think so? Yeah, he's a good start so far.
Yeah.
If he is told he's the game 4 starter, like, how would that sit with him?
As long as he's starting, it probably wouldn't be tremendous. And Erod has to really outpitch him for this to even be a possibility.
Right.
But I'm just saying, it is a possibility.
I think right now he's probably penciled in as your number 3 guy.
He definitely is. Right now, it's Sale, Porcello, Price.
Yeah.
And you really can't argue with that because Erod hasn't been lighting the world on fire.
Although this time tomorrow, we may be spinning a different tune.
We may very well be. John Keller, turn off your radio.
Let's go to Peter in Jamaica Plain. What's up, Peter?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to compare David Price and Chris Sale a little bit.
Okay.
There's only so many bullets.
Your phone is terrible.
I'm having a hard time.
Yeah,
I'm having a very difficult time.
We can't make you out, Peter. Chris Sale is better than David Price. We agree.
Chris Sale is much better. Chris Sale does everything differently. How about him last night, for example, talking about the fans too, like after the game? Just like, oh, like they're all fired up, like the best fans. Like, very simple. It's a very simple thing to do.
Do you ever see the camera guys' Twitter on the two?
Yes, for NBC Sports. Sports. Yeah.
So Bill Messina and Glenn Gleason.
Yeah.
Moose and Glenn.
Yes.
And the one yesterday, Moose sat down with Sale and joked about ripping up uniforms, and Sale was really funny. I have some history, you know. Some history altering uniforms, he said.
Oh, it's great. I mean,
he's got a good personality.
They are in so many ways opposite. And we knew that, I think, right from Jump Street. Like, so, you know, Red Sox fans got used to David Price for a year and sort of what came with David Price. I think it got obviously worse last year, but you saw the kind of personality he had. And then they bring in Sale. And the first thing I remember reading about him was he's not even on Twitter. Like, that was one of the first things that was, like, popped out there.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't even have a Twitter account. You're like, all right, well, right away.
And there's not a reporter in America, Ken Rosenthal, John Paul Morosi, doesn't matter who you are, you don't have his cell phone number because he doesn't give it out to any reporters.
It doesn't give it out. So he, when he says he's, you know, focused on just going out there and pitching every fifth day, you believe it with him. Like, that's the only message he's ever given you. And he goes out there, he works faster than Price. The results have been better than Price. He says all the right things. Like, they're opposite in so many ways. Price, the last 2 years or year and a half, wouldn't even look as bad as he did if Sale was still on the White Sox, because we wouldn't be able to compare the two so closely.
Although he would be the quote-unquote ace at that point, so he might look worse, because you'd be saying, oh my God, we have nothing. I guess Rick Porcello would be here, the Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah, you'd have him, but
you would be counting on him for more.
No, you'd be relying on him for more, but you wouldn't have the guy that's pitching the day before him going out there and doing everything right, saying everything right, and also an example of a guy that came from pitched for a team not the Boston Red Sox, and then came here and was able to do it.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, it was awesome. And you know, you said how they're different. Think about that image of Sale walking off the mound in Yankee Stadium after shutting down the Yankees in between 10 run outings.
Yeah,
he shuts them down, and that video of him, I don't know if you saw it, walking off the mound, staring at the fans. He's just,
that's incredible.
He's staring into the stands like, I am better than all of you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And it was so defiant and nasty and just, you know, I am a bad, bad man.
Yeah, I mean, he is the closest thing to Pedro. And there's been some great pitchers in between. You know, Beckett had an unbelievable season. Lester was obviously very good. But it's as far as you got to watch the guy, and you can't wait to see what he does. You're looking forward to moments in big games. That's why the playoffs will be huge for him this year, because it was not a good performance last year. But a lot of people gave him the benefit of the doubt because it was the first time that he was a letdown in the playoffs, and he was just so good during the season and didn't make excuses and didn't have all these nonsense press conferences.
Well, the fear with Sale has nothing to do with, oh, he's going to shrink in the big moment.
No.
It's he's going to get to the postseason and have nothing left because, like you said, he's a beanpole. He's 100 pounds.
He's a little bit of a guy. He's a rail guy.
He's
stick
6 foot six,
a buck 10.
But he weighs nothing.
Let's go to Paul in Cambridge. He joins us next. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Rich. Hey, John. We still have to be careful with Sale. He's just so intense. He knows no other way to pitch than 110%. You can just see it in his face. Give me the damn ball. And I love it when he walks off the mound. He reminds me of, like, the new sheriff in town and kicks the doors open. I just love him. I wanted to talk about Keller at large. I listened to that station when I shave, and I heard him talk about the fellowship of the miserable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do go back. I'm a little older than maybe you guys, but I remember crying as a kid in Game 7 with Bob Gibson when he mowed us down. For some reason in 75, I think we won because of Fisk's home run. In 78, I remember having a little transistor radio near my head. And Bucky Dent just clears the wall into the net. I'm like, this can't happen. But Yaz is up last, so we're going to win the game. He pops up. And, of course, 86. And then 2003, driving back to work to cash out my registers with this numb feeling. So, the Bruins win the Stanley Cup, but they melt in Game 6. I could feel it coming. The Celtics win Banner 17, but trying to get 18 with a 13-point lead at the half without Perk. I knew we were going. It's in me. It's deep-rooted. I'm sorry. I'm somewhere in between Stuart Smalley and the Debbie Downer.
Hey, don't apologize.
Don't apologize
for it, Paul. I'm with you. Just because they won a title, great. Enjoy that title at that time, and that's great. And it is going to change you a little bit as a fan base. You're no longer the loser, the lovable loser, or whatever. Like, you won, so things are a little bit different. But that doesn't mean every year after that it's, hey, we should be thankful for that title all those years ago and, like, not really worry about this year. Like, everything's gravy now. Like, no, you should still be super into the team and want them to win at all costs, but also question them a little bit. We saw how the last two seasons ended for the Red Sox, so why would you just go in blind saying, hey, they could win the division again and things for now they're going to be different because just say we're saying so.
Hey, I mean, Bill Belichick. Yes, exactly, Debbie Downer. I mean, Belichick is still answering questions about Malcolm Butler, you know,
right.
Or not answering questions, but being asked right. questions about it.
And then you get the, well, how would you like to be a fan of the Browns? I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not.
I would hate it.
First of all, I would not like to be, and I'm not. I'm not from there. I was not born in Cleveland. I don't need to know what it's like to be a Browns fan. It's fine. I'm a Patriots fan, a Red Sox fan, Celtics, Bruins fan.
It is interesting, though, to hear fans like Paul who are older than us, but you don't have to be that much older than us to remember 86, or that's probably a little before your time, but still, all of the near misses that Boston had.
Oh, yeah.
And to think that there's a whole generation of fans who know nothing, like their sporting memories start with Brady beating the Rams.
All right, coming up, we're going to get, finally, I've been saying this all nonstop, I promise, we will get to what's going on with the Celtics. There's a guy that they are interested in who they played against in the playoffs. I was kind of surprised to hear his name brought up. Also, the Marcus Smart update du jour. We sit around and we're waiting, and you can imagine how he feels just trying to figure out where he's going to go. But a couple of teams linked to Marcus Smart and the idea of a sign and trade. So we'll get to the NBA offseason specifically with the Celtics. Plus more of your phone calls at 617-779-7937. It is Dale and Keefe. John Tomasi is in Sports Radio, WEEI. It's Dale and Keefe. Tomasi in for Dale today. Sports Radio WEEI.
Is this for me? Is this song for me? I used to get the John Popper thing a lot when I had long hair and had a long ponytail.
This is for you.
I would get John Popper. It's been a while.
It's a great job by
Andy. Grinning back.
He's kind of a psycho, though, isn't he?
He's
like nuts. Didn't he track people down and like put their house on Twitter and like. He had a troll, and he literally put the guy's address and blew him up on Twitter. And
this guy,
you know what
really?
John Popper did. Yeah. Good for him.
Did he go out with Jennifer Aniston, or is that somebody
else?
No
chance.
Oh, no, that was the guy
Let's back up.
No, that was the Counting Crows
guy.
Let's
back up. We said he looks like me.
No, I know, but some
did
of these,
I go out with Jennifer Aniston?
But some of these rock stars, doesn't matter what they look like.
That's true. That's fair.
Wait, you mentioned Tiny Tim before. I'm sure he did very well.
I don't think Tiny Tim did great for himself.
Cleaned up? No?
I don't know.
Nah, but
who's the guy that was on Game of Thrones as like a sex symbol? Red hair guy.
The red hair guy.
Oh.
Tormund?
He just had
Tormund.
No, not Tormund.
Singer. The guy who had the bad cameo.
Oh,
yeah. It's just a cameo.
Oh, man, we're so bad. We are so bad. How do we? Oh, Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, oh my
like
God.
A weird looking guy, but
he's doing just fine.
Sex symbol.
The ladies like him. He's got honey in his voice.
Fair.
The Celtics update. It sounds like I did not see this one coming, John. But it sounds there are reports from. Where is it? Sam Amico Hoops. Are you familiar with
him? Yeah, he's like USA Today, right?
Oh, okay. It says, according to Sam Amico of Amico Hoops.
Okay, I think he used to be USA Today.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
He says that the Celtics have expressed interest in trading for Cavaliers sharpshooter Kyle Korver. He says Korver is drawing at least some interest from the Toronto Raptors, Boston Celtics, Philadelphia 76ers.
That's kind of weird about all of the quote-unquote top teams
the
in the
three
East.
Best teams. Yeah, he says all three are East contenders, and Korver would be a major boost off the bench for a team looking to reach the finals. But all of those teams are hesitant to surrender a first-round pick for Korver, so the Cavs are likely to hold on to him. Again, those teams could change their minds
he's
in
37.
February.
Like, why would you give a first-round pick for him? I mean, I like Korver. He's a good shooter. You can shoot him, run him off screens.
Would
but
you give up your own first-round
limited.
Pick? For Korver?
Based on what we've seen
30.
From Robert Williams so far.
Yeah,
by the way,
Robert Williams lost his wallet. Did you hear that?
He's off to a great start.
What is wrong with this guy? He has a babysitter now. He slept in for the conference call. He missed a team flight. He hurt his knee. We find out he's got all kinds of other leg issues, and now he lost his wallet? That's not a good start.
Wallet's just the cherry on top.
I think it was Dickerson was in here the other day and said in 3 years he's going to be in Turkey. Like, maybe 2 years. Like, maybe two. Like, I don't even know how long this guy's going to last. But I think their pick next year, their own pick. I know they have other picks. Their own might be number 29.
Yeah.
Like, so would you give that up as part of a deal for Kyle Korver?
Yeah, when it's effectively a second rounder.
It is. And they, I mean,
and you already have the Kings pick
and
plus
think
the
of their
Grizzlies pick.
Think
coming.
Of their late first round picks over the years.
You might get the Clippers pick next year too, right?
You might get the
it's protected
Kings pick, obviously.
Yeah.
Which is gonna be great.
Yep.
And then the Grizzlies pick, I think.
The Grizzlies is 2020. Well, oh, okay. That's protected, so I think
it's like top seven, right?
I think it's top eight next year, and then maybe top six, and then
but
it's unprotected.
But you have a flood of picks the next
but
couple
you also
years.
Have, I think the Clippers are like top 15 or something like that, so you could have the 16th pick from the Clippers. I don't know. You put it that way. And you start
all
to say,
of a sudden, I'm kind of in.
How many Ante Zizic's and Gershon Yabusele's do you really need?
I'd take a shot at Kyle Korver. He's going to get $7.5 million each of the next 2 years.
So if you do that, you're saying, are you saying goodbye to Smart? I can never understand.
I don't know. And
cap.
So, yeah, the cap, again, it can be manipulated, I guess, like in all sports. But Steve Volpett has some of the latest on Marcus Smart as well. And it just seems like he's saying, again, in the Boston Herald, that this thing could take a little while. This could drag on. And he says it's unclear now if the Celtics would be willing to revisit their extension offer from last fall, which was reported in the Herald for 4 years at more than $12 million per.
No chance.
Or whether
no
that would
chance.
Even work for Smart.
Yeah, that should work for Smart.
Smart, it should work
realistically,
for.
Realistically, like looking at the market, yes. But from the Celtics' perspective, you say you missed your chance.
What if he's really betting on himself? He said, you know what? I'm going to be able to go out there as an unrestricted free agent and make a ton of money.
Yeah, if he's betting on himself, then he wouldn't. Yeah, you're right. Then he wouldn't sign that 4-12. He'd take 6.1 and play out the year and then go into free agency. But it was like the David Griffin stuff we had yesterday from Jeff Goodman's podcast where, and we've made this point, everyone in Boston has made this point, Marcus Smart is only valuable to a team that thinks it is on the cusp of competing with Golden State. You know, he's only made for a contender. He's the guy who can put a contending team potentially over the top with all the dirt doggy stuff that he does.
Yeah, dirt dog.
And you know,
all the trot Nixon that's in his game.
All the trot Nixon that he can muster. And a team like the Kings, you say, what is the point?
Useless. Yeah. Useless. Unless you think that they need like a veteran player. But even then, I think you can find someone with more years under his belt. Like he's just finishing up his rookie deal. He's young.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you three teams that should be calling Marcus Smart. Rockets,
yes.
Sixers, Lakers. Like those three teams, any one of them.
Lakers.
Lakers makes a ton of Lakers. You're going after all these bums.
Yeah, why would LeBron
Stevenson?
LeBron signed, and they even admitted like LeBron signed all those guys.
Yeah.
Like if you hear what Rob Pelinka, who I still like from his Fab 5 days.
Yes.
He was like the Fab 6.
He was the sixth man
of the Fab 5. He and Magic Johnson just admitted that LeBron signed Stevenson, McGee, and Rondo. And then Pelinka also said that this Lakers team is designed to beat the Warriors. Did you hear that?
Yeah, so if you want to beat the Warriors, you need someone like Marcus Smart.
But isn't that a bunch of hooey? There's no way they could beat the Warriors with what they have.
They won't even beat the Jazz the Blazers. There's a bunch of teams
like,
in the West they
won't
beat.
You can't compete with the Warriors doing what they're doing. Like, you're not going to be able to outscore them, so you got to get masterminds like McGee and Stevenson.
Well, no, that's it. You can't beat them by outscoring them. How do the Celtics beat them? The Celtics always beat them by keeping them below. They keep that. I think they were one of five teams to keep them below 90 points last year. They were one of four teams to do it the year before. They only play them twice a year.
Right.
They play defense against them. Marcus Smart is at the heart
of
that.
Yeah, Smart would
make
sense.
So if you're the Lakers and you're talking about what you said, we're not going to try to outscore them. Hey, you know what? That's smart because you can't.
The problem
is, no one can.
The problem is the Lakers aren't going to give anybody a multi-year deal right now. It's Smart. Is he going to sign a 1 year deal to play for the Lakers?
But they should give him a multi-year deal. Like that's, I mean.
But they want to make sure they can make whatever they want to do next year, whether it's Kawhi Leonard and Cousins and whoever else, Jimmy Butler. Like they want to make sure all their doors are open.
Okay, but if you're LeBron, then you're saying, all right, I guess we're just giving away this year. I'm going to look at JaVale McGee all year. That's going to be great.
I think he is. He's punting on this year. You want to know why? Because he's making a comedy film. Did you see that?
Yes.
LeBron James is in a deal with Paramount, or he wants to star in a comedy film.
Oh, he's going to one-up Kyrie.
No, he's not. The Kyrie Irving movie, I'll tell you right now, Kyrie Irving's movie, Uncle Drew, is going to make more money than this stupid LeBron movie, and it's going to have a better rate, Rossi, it's going to have a better rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hold on. Trainwreck, Amy Schumer, LeBron was the funniest thing in
the
movie.
No, he was not.
Yes,
LeBron
he was.
No, LeBron wasn't
was
even
really good.
He wasn't
movie.
Even
LeBron. Yes,
he wasn't even the best
John
athlete
Cena.
In that
John
movie.
Cena was
John
number
Cena
one.
Was better, and John Cena didn't play John Cena. LeBron played LeBron.
LeBron was awesome, though.
He was
good enough.
He was not. He was terrible.
All right,
he was in it with Bill Hader. Bill Hader could do a scene with a mop, and it would be incredible. He'd be like, hey, that mop should probably get some,
he hates
some Oscar
so
punch.
Much, he can't even give him the fact that he was good in Trainwreck.
Oh, he was really good.
Why is this?
He was a Trainwreck.
How about this? Who was better in Trainwreck? LeBron James?
Don't put me in a corner.
Amy Schumer?
Don't you dare put me in a
corner. Tomasi, hold on. Make him answer this.
Don't you dare put me in that corner.
You have to answer it. Who did you enjoy watching on screen more? Amy Schumer, LeBron James?
You know what David Price would say.
What would he say?
Well, he'd say Amy Schumer. He would not give Rossi the satisfaction.
No, I already feel it.
I'm not a big Amy Schumer fan.
So who did you... When you watched that movie, which you clearly did, now we all know.
I saw Trainwreck because I'm a big Bill Hader fan. He got nominated for an Emmy for Barry. I recommend Barry for everybody. Yeah, Barry got nominated for a bunch of stuff. Congratulations, Bill Hader, for listening.
You answer the question.
Is that really what I have to do right now?
Yeah, because you hate both of these people so much.
This is like a Sam Kennedy soliloquy where you're just hoping we forget the question.
Yeah. You know who was also great in a movie? All right, I will say the answer.
Cary Grant.
The answer.
North by Northwest.
Oh, God.
And, I think when you know you're in an environment where you have to be accessible and accountable to the media, it's hard for me.
You know what? Actually, he sounds like a sober Jim Irsay a little
thank
bit.
Thank you.
He does.
Andy's
what's
going to
happening,
work on
Quay Quinn?
Andy's working on something in the other room. I've been saying it the whole day. The whole day I've been saying he sounds like Jim Irsay.
He's not. We'll mash that up later on. Don't worry about that right now.
Yeah, no. But answer the question.
Let's move on to
the question.
Celtics
is Amy Schumer
would you sign
or LeBron James?
I will say LeBron was better, and I'll say the reason why he wasn't in it as much. Amy Schumer was in like every scene.
She's
and so
the star of the movie.
Yeah, it was
she
much too much.
Wrote direct. Yeah, she was everything.
Are you a Schumer fan?
Not really.
Okay,
she's okay.
She was good in that movie though. I thought she was really good.
You like that movie?
Yeah, I thought the movie was good. I thought everything about it. There was no bad parts.
But anyway, let's get back to what I'm talking about.
Real quick, do we have any of like I think I've seen them online where they have like the mashup of LeBron's. Just a bunch of his comments in a row where they were actually ad-libbing.
Hader fed him the lines.
Maybe he did, but LeBron still had to deliver them, and they were legitimately funny.
Right, so
the whole thing is like,
star.
Is he your Cleveland? Like that?
So
thing?
Is he going to play?
That's awesome.
Is he going to play LeBron James in this movie, or is he going to play a different character?
I have a character. His name is Uncle Ted.
Yeah. Like, wait a minute. He goes Old Face, and he goes to Rucker Park. This sounds very similar. He's like, but it's a Coke movie. You're like, no, you can't do a Coke movie. He, because Uncle Drew's done okay at the box office.
I still haven't seen it. I need to see it.
No, neither have I. But last check, it was doing, I think, like in the 70s.
It's been forever.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been like 6 years since Sheila. Yeah. That only lasts like 5 weeks.
Yep. There was Debbie.
Debbie didn't even tell you where she lived.
Yeah, she thought I was a psycho.
So, 65% on the critic score for Uncle Drew.
That's not bad because there's a certain number of critics who just aren't going to get it.
Yeah, they're going to hate a sports movie regardless.
They're going to hate a sports movie and they're going to hate the conceit of this. Like, how many times do we have to watch these old guys dunk on unsuspecting young guys?
Right.
Some of us could watch that for 3 hours.
I do not want to see a LeBron movie, but I think we're going to get one. And that's one of the first things. So he goes out to L.A., he signs Rondo McGee Stevenson.
Maybe
he's
going
to be in
the
movie.
Maybe they're going to be extras in his movie.
Like John Wallace and Walter McCarty, and he got game.
Yes.
Get those guys to fill out the roster with Jesus and Boogie. And there's one other guy maybe in it too, right? Because they had to fill out a whole squad. John Wallace, Walter McCarty, maybe Dante Jones. Maybe somebody else from that Knicks team.
The one for me was Blue Chips. You know,
Blue
that
Chips was
more when I was
awesome.
In college. So that's
I loved that movie. Yeah. What do you got? Penny playing Butch McRae. You had Ricky Rowe there, and then Shaq playing Neon Bordeaux.
Who was the Indiana guy that I'm blanking on? Calbert Chaney.
Calbert Chaney
he was in it, but I was thinking of somebody else.
The other players that they were playing around
thing.
No, I think Calbert Chaney, because that was in the early 90s. So that
he was definitely in it, but there was somebody else that I was thinking of. It was like sort of the like crew-cutted, typical Hoosier-looking.
Not Sam Jacobson.
No. He was he Wisconsin?
Oh, no, he was Minnesota.
Minnesota, that's right.
There was a guy. Who was the guy?
It might be Matt Novak.
Oh, Matt Novak. Matt Novak, I think, played. Oh, was it Matt Nover?
Matt Nover was Ricky Rowe. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's what it was.
But he might have been like Georgia Tech. I can't remember.
He was like a player, right?
Yeah.
And then they had a bunch of coaches. Bob Cousy was in that movie.
Cousy was in it. Yeah. Patino.
They had a whole bunch of guys in there. It was pretty good. That's still one of the best basketball movies of all time, I think. Here's the list of cameos: Jerry Tarkanian, Jim Boeheim, Kevin Garnett, which I do not remember, Alan Houston, Dick Vitale, George Lynch, Larry Bird, Travis Ford, Rick Fox, Calvert Chaney, Matt Painter, Rex Walters.
Oh yeah, Kentucky.
Rick Pitino, Bobby Hurley, Bob Knight, George Raveling, and Nolan Richardson.
A lot of coaches.
Just for
a lot of dirty coaches, and they're all like playing off the idea that they're dirty.
Just,
you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're just like fully embracing it.
Yeah.
617-779-7937 is the phone number if you want to call the show. Jason, you were going
to
say something?
Well, I want to just call back to this Sam Kennedy. Who is he
sounds like? Oh, yeah, the little side-by-side. Oh, good.
I need to personally put myself in his shoes. And
hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
Whoa. Same voice.
You know, I've seen Hannah on the field live. I've seen Munoz on the field live. I've seen them throw guys around.
Oh, Sam Kennedy grew his hair.
You have to be accessible and accountable to the media.
Like, who's that? Which is which?
Personally put myself in.
Again, I'm
damn good you are, and we need your leadership, your
I think Sam's sober as a bird. I'm just saying that the two sound very
similar.
One of
them sounds like if he grew out his hair.
Just like Theo and Charrington. Theo and Charrington were voice
doppelgangers. But they sounded the same. These two sound, one sounds like a bizarro version of the other.
Hey, Quentin, what's
up? I mean, a little left of center here. Yeah, there's a lot of good ones. A lot of voice mirror matches there. All right, we get to your phone calls here. Also, I wanted to mention this before, but the Home Run Derby, John, might be back. They got really the who's who to participate in this. Plus, we have the latest in the Mike Francesa interactions with a caller. Another one that we can add to the Hall of Fame. We'll get to all that coming up next here on Sports Radio WEEI.
What do you want to see me suck a few dingers?
Don't tell me the Home Run Derby is dead, John. They announced the participants and the bracket last night. Who doesn't like a bracket format, first of all?
Brackets are great. Second only to power rankings.
That's right. And maybe we can even power rank the Home Run Derby participants. So there are 8 guys that are going to sock some dingers next week, Monday night, Home Run Derby. No Mookie Betts. He said no thanks. J.D. Martinez, who leads the world in home runs, he also had to pass. Giancarlo Stanton, he said no thank you. Aaron Judge, who hit 1 million home runs last year, he also does not want to do it.
Didn't hit any for a month afterwards.
No, he didn't. Maybe directly due to him being in the Home Run Derby.
And Jackie Bradley.
Mike Trout not in there as well. But it is a regular who's who. I mean, baseball fans, I don't need to tell you who these guys are. There's, first of all, 7 National Leaguers, 1 American Leaguer.
I know, which is so weird.
I don't get that part of it
at all.
I
thought it was supposed to be 4-on-4. It's like you couldn't find 4 American Leaguers?
No, they found one, and he apparently is the 4 seed. So this is the bracket, which was announced last night, and you can kind of see why Mookie Betts would say, maybe we're kind of done with the Home Run Derby.
Yeah.
The 1-8 matchup, which I'm sure a lot of people are setting their clocks for, Jesus Aguilar from the Milwaukee Brewers versus Rhys Hoskins.
Philadelphia Phillies.
Yes. Oh, good. Yes. Yeah, good.
We have to tell people that because I guarantee you there are people who don't know.
Aguilar. Yeah, that's right. That's right, everybody. Aguilar Hoskins will be the opener. They will face the winner of Alex Bregman. The
lone AL guy.
The only American League guy from the Astros. And Kyle Schwarber. Yep. Now you do have this is the money matchup in the first round, but one of them is going to be out right away. Bryce Harper, who's really only doing it because they're at his home park,
and that's about all he's good for right now.
Yeah, just dingers.
Yeah,
and Freddie Freeman, who's a real all star. I don't know how super popular he is, but baseball fans definitely know who Freddie Freeman is. He's been with the Braves a long time, and he's a good player. And then the last matchup is Max Muncy.
Do you really think of Freddie Freeman, though, as like an overwhelming power hitter? He's a first baseman.
No, I don't.
He's usually in the 20,
good average,
like low 20s, right?
Yes.
At least that's how I think of
it. I think of Freddie Freeman as just that.
Yeah.
And again, a good player. And if I didn't play fantasy baseball, I probably wouldn't know him as well as I do. And then the last matchup is Max Muncy,
Great story.
It was a nice story. For those who don't know it, he's Brian Daboch.
Brian Daboch, if Daboch came up for 2 years, got released by the A's, who weren't even good at the time, spent a year in the minor leagues, and then came up a couple weeks into this season and hit all 20 of the homers that he would usually hit over a full season.
Yes.
If he hit them in like 180 at bats.
That's right. And Javier Baez. So you have two Cubs. You have more Cubs than you do American League guys.
Yeah.
Aguilar has...
he leads the NL, so
23
legit.
Home runs. It's fine. Bryce Harper has 22 home runs. Muncy has 21 home runs. Bregman has 19. Schwarber has 17. Baez has 18. Freeman has 16. And Reese Hoskins has 14 home
runs. That's got to be the lowest total in the history of the home
run
derby.
That's not great.
14 homers?
Especially now where the home run is back. The ball is juiced. People are hitting home runs, so the end season totals are still really good. And so this guy's on pace for under 30 home runs.
What would the alternative to the home run derby even be? I've heard people say skills competition.
I'm in on skills competition.
But what are the skills that you're doing?
I'm telling you, five tool.
Throwing a ball through.
Five tool.
Okay.
Yeah, a Tom Emanski bucket.
Okay.
You do that. Yep. That's an obvious one.
Yeah.
You have... I don't know what it would be if
run
it's home
the
to yeah either home to first or first to third or something like that.
You know, it would be a good way to do it. Do the like home to first for one guy, home to third for the other, and see who gets there first. So yeah, they have to pass each other.
That's all good. I'm something like that. Some speed related thing. I don't know how you do like making catches or fielding grounders. I don't think you can really do any of that. But who has the best outfield arm, like accuracy, things like that? That'd be good. Pitchers, they'd be terrified to do it, but I'd love to see some guys pump 100, see what that looks like.
Walk out there, shake out your arm a little.
Just pump 100. They got to figure something out. I don't think they should get rid of the home run derby, but I also wouldn't be opposed to kind of going, you know, we're going to have four dudes do it.
I know.
We're going to have Harper, Aguilar, Freeman, and, you know, Bregman, and then that, you know, or Muncy if you want because of the story.
Yeah.
Like, here are the four guys, and then we're good. Or in like shave down the rounds, and maybe you'd get more guys to do it if they knew that, hey, worst case scenario, I'm taking 20 swings or something like that.
I have to tell you, in all the things that you cover as a journalist, the home run derby is one of the worst events there is to cover. Like any year that I was at an All-Star game and a Red Sox was in that thing, I was like,
come on.
I want no part of this. Like, did Ortiz do it in Arizona?
Ortiz definitely did a home run derby or
so
two.
So maybe it was that one. I just remember one. I was like, oh, God.
Well, it's brutal because
this thing out. It's so repetitive.
I'm one of the few people who likes the dunk contest. Most people don't. I don't mind it, but if you made that a 3-hour event
and everybody
was doing the same dunk, that's what the home run derby
16
is.
16 times.
Right, and I think also what park it's in really is a big difference. Like, watching it at Fenway is pretty sweet, but
I'm a big fan of watching the executives' kids who are out there shagging the fly balls.
Oh,
like,
just crashing
fighting
into
each other to try and catch the
you're
ball.
You're totally rooting for one of those kids.
Oh, they
hit,
usually
yeah.
do,
yeah.
too. One
like,
of them usually
I don't
gets
mean
knocked
to be
down.
A jerk,
well,
you are
you
a
little
are.
Bit being there.
Not hurt, but just embarrassed, maybe.
Yeah, or they
a little
they,
hurt.
Like, the one kid who, like, runs and, like, calls everybody off and then just, like, drops behind him and just, like, nobody can make a play.
There's always the one kid, too, who just never moves. Just
yeah,
standing
just
out there. That's always the one I look for. Because you all see all these kids running, let's say it's going left on your screen, and there's just one kid standing.
Well, there's
out.
Like the,
like,
the
no
there's
part.
Also like the random 16-year-old who's out there. You're like, well, that kid's in high school.
Yeah,
like, hold on.
Like,
he's like making plays.
He's
like,
shave.
Get him out of there. Speaking of shaving. No, we're not gonna go there. But there's the home run derby. I mean, there's probably the least amount of interest for this as there's been in a very long time.
Like, seriously, Jesus Aguilar could hit 35 homers.
Yeah, I don't care.
No one will care.
Nobody cares. Or no. I mean, the Aguilar-Hoskins matchup is one for the ages. That reminds you of Griffey Thomas, McGuire.
Very similar. Sosa McGuire. Yeah.
The same thing. Now, we haven't had Mike Francesa on the show in a while as far as some of the audio from his show. He's been back. He's back and been better than ever, as we've been told.
He had a few days off there for the 4th and all that, too.
That makes sense.
Hasn't been any new audio.
That makes sense. Now, Andy, you told me, I have not heard this yet, so I'm looking forward to this. You said he had a caller very similar to a caller that we have had in the past.
Yeah, I think we should compare them. So
okay, do you want to play ours first or his?
No, let's play his first.
Okay, his first.
See if it rings a bell for you.
Okay.
Ben in Jersey, what's up, Ben?
Hey, I played the sport at a very high level for 40 some odd years. And
you played the sport on a high level for 40 years? Where?
Holy smokes!
Good answer.
A high level for 40 years? Did he also say he was a student of the game? Was that in there? Or did I just hear that wrong? Did he say he was a student of the game or he studies the game?
I'm a student of the game.
Student of the game!
At a very high level for 40 some odd
high
years.
High level?
You played the sport on a high level for 40 years?
He's like, my name is Satchel Paige.
I was going to say Bartolo Colon.
Yeah.
Who else can you think of? That is really impressive stuff.
Calls it played the sport on a high level for 40 years. Where?
Well, I would say, you know, from all the way from Little League all the way through college, 4 years, varsity, and so on and so forth, and then picked up softball.
Hold on. That doesn't count. What are we doing here? At least, like, if he was in, like, a men's league baseball, you're like, oh, at least it's the same sport.
Yeah, I played in the Yaki League till I was 50.
So he plays, right, exactly. He played.
Well, I would say, you know, from all the way from Little League. It counts Little League. 4 years, varsity, and so on and so forth, and then picked up.
So on and so forth?
Yeah. So he skipped the part where we were supposed to say, I got drafted, I played in the minors for 4 years.
So Little League, that's 4 years. Yeah. High school, that's 4 years. College, that's 4 years. Still got a ways to go to get
so
the 40.
28 years of softball.
That's a lot. It's mostly softball.
Okay, my point is the last 18 games, which is roughly 3 weeks for the Yankees are 9 wins and 9 losses
right.
against Tampa Bay, Philadelphia, Boston, Atlanta, Toronto, and Baltimore.
Oh right. He's
that's
eating
incredible.
Again.
That is incredible. Well, that's not incredible. Okay. They were due for a bad run.
He's definitely eating again, by the way. This
the
is like
Yankees
a twofer.
The Yankees are 9 wins and 9 losses right. against Tampa
right.
Bay,
eating.
Philadelphia, Boston, Atlanta, Toronto,
correct.
And Baltimore.
Right.
Yes. That's
he's
incredible.
Eating a sandwich right, right now again.
That's incredible. Okay. They were due for a bad run.
He's definitely having something to eat. And that's probably the only reason why he didn't hang up on the guy immediately when he said, I've played at a high level. The only reason he kept him on was so he could get a few more chips.
So who does that remind you of?
Oh, I think it's very clear who it reminds me of. Let's go back to the phones. We got Jerome in Scituate. What's up, Jerome?
Hey, Keith, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Listen, you sound like you know what you're talking about.
Oh, thanks.
And these guys are making me crazy. About Tom Brady and, you know, eating avocado ice cream.
Sure.
You know, I played till he's 45. Let me tell you something. I played at a high level myself. Two mm-hmm. MVPs.
Nice.
And you know, my
you had two MVPs? Won two MVPs?
Yeah, that's what he said.
He's back.
Yeah. Where was this?
It was a high level.
Where was this?
Braintree Flag Football League.
it's the best. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
And my
was it? No, hold on, Jerome. Was it back-to-back years, or did you have a year in between where you were robbed?
No, back-to-back.
Back-to-back. Okay.
I was robbed 1 year, too, but I ate shrimp and lobster sauce and pork egg foo young. Never got hurt.
No?
Never used the avocado ice cream.
No, didn't touch the stuff.
When did you retire? What year?
How old were you, though?
I'm saying, how old were you when you stopped playing?
I was about 29.
So you don't think Brady's not going to play four
you
more
retired
years?
At 29, Brady's like 40, Brown. And you don't think he can make it. He was able to do something that you weren't able to do. You got to give him credit.
No. You know what? Dante Scarnecchia is the guy. It's not avocado ice cream. It's Dante Scarnecchia is the guy that's going to keep him playing 3 or 4 more years if he makes it that far.
Mm. Okay.
He really hung up on the avocado ice cream.
He didn't like that. He thought, you know, everybody's giving him credit for his diet and everything else. He didn't like that at all.
I played at a high level myself. Two mm-hmm. MVPs.
Nice.
Braintree for the flag football.
Braintree flag football.
That means he might have had to beat Butch Stearns. Butch is a Braintree guy, right?
He might have had to take him down.
Am I remembering that right?
I was going to put it out on Twitter last night. We actually looked for, like, online information about
nothing.
The Braintree flag football league, see if we could get somebody on who remembered Jerome fondly.
We just get Jerome on.
He called in. He isn't. No, I feel like, as I said last night as well, there's not many Jeromes in Scituate.
No, he called back before, and he like talked about something else. Like he called back after that call.
But I feel like he's got friends down there now who are like, Braintree Flag Football.
Yeah,
league,
maybe.
Huh?
Well, I mean, maybe it's not what it used to be. I'm sure when he was out there slinging the ball around, it was probably
Braintree Flag Football League.
You know, I mean, it was probably then that probably really meant something. Unfortunately, now it's kind of lost a little bit of the luster. But I love that. Let me tell you something. Like when somebody calls in and they start with that, it's like, I'm listening. We're all ears. Like, listen to me. Let me tell you something. I played at a pretty high level.
I ate shrimp and lobster sauce and pork egg foo young. Never got hurt.
I mean, incredible diet.
Shrimp and lobster sauce.
And then
he
retired at 29. He's like, Barry Sanders, Jim Brown, see you later.
Yeah, he went out on top.
Let
me tell you something. I played at a high level myself. Two mm-hmm. MVPs.
I'm more impressed by Jerome. By, you know, leaving on a high note like George Costanza, compared to this other guy who's just hanging on, playing for 40 years.
Into the game, I played the sport at a very high level for 40 some odd years. And
a high level?
On a high level for 40 years?
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike.
Well, I would say, you know, from all the way from Little League, all the way through college, 4 years, varsity, and so on and so forth, and then picked up softball and continued up.
Okay. And if Mike, if Mike wasn't eating his lunch, he would have hung up on him because he said high level and he included Little League. Little League. I played at a high level.
Okay.
Well, you played on the major league team? You played on a Little League All-Star team there? Okay, that's a high level. I'll give you that.
Now, see, with you, you left Jerome on just so he could sort of hang himself. And,
yeah.
You know, I feel like Mike sort of did the same thing there.
No, because Mike was eating. I wasn't eating anything. I wasn't eating anything. I was interested.
Softball.
Oh, okay.
And continued up.
Gotcha. Okay. What's the point?
He knows he should have just hung up on him, but he was like, I got to finish this sub. Then we can get back to the show. All right, it's good. It's always good to check in with Mike Francesa when his caller. Nothing's changed there. It's the same great show.
Still eating.
He's still eating on the air. No problem. No naps recently. He hasn't taken a sneaky nap in a while.
Should ask him about Al Albuquerque.
Oh, I never heard of Alberto Albuquerque. I knew.
I didn't know
Al Albuquerque. Albert. I didn't know they call him that.
Albert.
617-779-7937. We got the Money Hour coming your way next. We go back to the David Price talking with Dan Shaughnessy. Plus, we have a Kiefer Madness to end the program here on Dale and Keefe Sports Radio, WEEI.
Braintree Flag Football League.
Go ahead.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.